Well, more than 6,000 people die on an average day in the United States, so death is no stranger to most of us, just something we often prefer not to think about or talk about, which may be why it hits so hard when it does happen. We talked to many people on The Exchange about loosening up on our attitudes about death, having more natural conversations about what is a natural part of life on Earth, things like death cafes, for example. Today, we welcome Jennifer Matthews, who is one of the co-founders of the Living Dying Alliance of Southern Oregon. Jennifer, good to see you. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
And Kate Swenson is with us as well. She's an apprentice funeral director at Littweiler Simonson Funeral Home in Ashland. Good to see you, Kate.
Thank you.
Jennifer, let's start with you. Let's talk about the Living Dying Alliance of Southern Oregon, and who else besides you formed it and why?
Yes, well, there are six of us all together.
There are six of us all together, and we came together to raise awareness of death and dying as a way to enrich the experience of life and living. So we're dealing with conscious living, conscious dying, and how those intersect. So with the death cafes, which all of us are also involved in, are all involved in, that has no agenda. You're there just talking about death and dying. But in this way, we can actually promote events, projects, resources in Southern Oregon so that people can come together and have a way to talk about these issues and learn about these issues and be more informed together as a community.
So even if people aren't particularly disposed to go to a death cafe, for example, at least they're willing to check out some of these events like a funeral home visit.
Absolutely, yeah. So this is part of a series of six that we've been doing, our first series right now. And issues from advanced directives to Pulse to the funeral home piece and all different aspects of, you know, how do we look at death and dying, but also how can we be more prepared to make choices? So the series we're in now is called Your Life, Your Death, Your Choices. And that's really what we want to emphasize in this particular way.
Outside of your own immediate experience, do you find people getting a little better at acknowledging and accepting death in society?
Absolutely. Over the past, I would say even the past 5 years, 3 to 5 years, it seems like people are much more willing to show up. They're more curious. They're more interested. And you know, when we have events, people go away and they tell their friends. And I think there are much more conversations happening out there now. Of course, there's still a lot of fear and hesitation and all of that. But I feel like there's a cultural shift happening, and it's really valuable.
Is there still something of a, I don't know, morbidity speed bump or something for people to get over where it's just kind of creepy to talk about or something?
Oh, sure. I mean, I think there's the whole range of things. Yeah, definitely.
Kate Swenson, let's talk to you and talk about what made you decide to go into the funeral business.
I was interested in learning more about death, and you don't get to hear much about it. People kind of shy away from it. And there's also an aspect of wanting to be an advocate for people. I've always wanted to be an advocate for people. And so I did many things over my life, and eventually I sort of pulled the things that I enjoyed doing or was good at, and out of the things that I had tried, and realized that funeral direction, being a funeral director, might support that. And in doing that, I wanted to do it differently than I had seen it being done.
How had you seen it be done?
It was more about the external or the process rather than about how we can bring funeral service into the having people look at what death is really like, bringing it into the public consciousness and having conversations about it.
Not just walling it off and speaking in somber tones about it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So what do you do as a funeral director? I mean, there's a bunch of duties there, it sounds like.
There are. One of which is I go to pick up the person who has died, which is, and I bring that up because you will end up seeing me. Like, you will end up seeing someone at a time when you're not quite sure who this person is and what their purpose is. And I think it's a really special and important thing to be able to show up in this vulnerable place and do it with compassion and dignity and communication. That's the first time you're going to see me. And then I'm going to ask you to come in, and we're going to sit down, and we're going to talk about what kind of ceremony or celebration you want, what kind of disposition you want. I'm going to need to gather information, some of which might feel arbitrary. Why do you need to know whether or not my loved one was, like, what they did for work and for how long they did it? So there are those, it's a series of things.
What do you see as the biggest misconception that people have about the work of funeral directors?
That I think there's a there's not an understanding of how important the work we do is. So they kind of come in and you know, they sit down. They don't want to see me necessarily. and what I do is important. Like, it's a continuum of care. So if the person has been in the hospital, they've been helped by doctors. They've been helped by hospice. They, you know, the grief centers will help them. And I'm a part of that continuum of care. And I think getting that information out there is important, like how we do what we do and what we do and why it's important. And
not separate from that continuum.
Not separate.
Yeah. Okay, not a different thing. Kate Swenson is an apprentice funeral director at Littweiler Simonson in Ashland. Jennifer Matthews is with the Living Dying Alliance of Southern Oregon, where she's one of the co-founders. You can join our discussion. We're talking about death and dying in frank terms here on The Exchange. 800-838-3760 to share a story or ask a question. You can do it by email at jx@jeffnet.org. So Jennifer Matthews, lots of frank talk about death and dying in the Alliance. Does that translate into things like people actually getting to know a funeral director while they're still alive?
Oh, sure. I mean, that's the whole point of this, actually. And we're having an event, actually, that's coming up on Tuesday, April 25th at 6:30. And it's called Funeral Homes Demystified, a candid conversation about post-death logistics. That's the whole point, is to be able to be there, talk with Kate and myself and other people, ask questions, find out more information. Because if people can be comfortable asking uncomfortable questions or hearing uncomfortable information, I think we've just made a huge impact on our interpersonal relationships. They go home, talk to their families, their friends. So, yes, the candid piece and being real about death and dying is super important.
So how often do you have things like the funeral homes demystified? Have you done this particular session before?
No, this is a brand new thing. Yeah, mm-hmm. Kate and I met at a death cafe, actually, and I really appreciated how passionate and enthusiastic she is about what she does. You don't necessarily see that much in funeral home care that I've experienced in the past. So being able to say, hey, okay, let's really look at this and help people have a way of getting into the nitty-gritty of pieces that they might never think about, the things they might never even know to ask, and know to do that then when they are in the situation of having to make that phone call to a funeral home and go from there. So.
We've touched on death cafes a couple of times now. I don't want to go slide completely past it. For people who might not have heard the term before, what is a death cafe?
Oh, sure. People come together and talk about death and dying with no agenda. So we have little groups, and there's a facilitator of the groups. We have those quarterly in the Ashland area. And the whole point is to be comfortable and have an arena for people to do that, whereas normally, you know, most people who come say, wow, I've never actually sat in a circle with people who are willing to talk about death.
So for Kate Swenson, let's talk about training for funeral director. I mean, what kind of education do you have to have, and how long did you have to train before you could do any of the duties of a funeral director?
All right. Well, I'm going to take my state board test here in the summer, so I'm actually studying exactly how to answer that question.
Will that remove the apprentice from your title?
Ideally, yes. But I did go to school in Pittsburgh for 2 years to get a degree in mortuary science, which is funeral direction and embalming. So currently I'm doing an apprenticeship for both embalming and an apprenticeship for funeral service, because they're two different licenses in this state.
Well, really? Is it because one handles the body and the other one handles the loved ones who are left behind?
Yes.
That's essentially it. Okay. People do die at odd hours. Is there an on-call aspect to the job?
There are. And that's one of the things that I think is another piece of information I want people to know. If they start talking about, if they're having conversations about death, not to sound macabre, but death comes for you in any way at any time. And so some of the things that I see are not ideal. It's not someone, you know, passing gently in the night, you know, and any death for anyone is difficult. But it's important to know that there are so many different things that go on with the logistics of when someone dies. It's great to talk about it, and it's great to plan about it, and it's good to be aware that other people don't have the same experience that you have, and different demographics don't have the same experience. When we're having conversations about death, there are so many other dynamics and demographics that have a different experience than I do, and that's one of the things I'm interested in learning about and knowing about in being involved in death cafes and in the work that I do. It's really important to me to try and not stay in this box, because I am of a certain demographic living in a certain place. And if I am going to start having conversations about death, I need to have input from other communities and from my community, because funeral direction needs the needs and the desires of the public are changing. And funeral service, it's important for me to be a part of a funeral service that's going to ask questions and embrace that change. And I think there's been a bit of a hiccup where funeral service has done something the same way for a really long time. And so this isn't your grandmother's funeral anymore. Like the people who are out there are asking for different things. They're needing different support. And they're needing to have a different dialogue. And I want to be a part of bridging that gap so that people's needs are met and that we can be a healthier society to some extent because we can start having these conversations.
Before we don't want to have them.
Yeah. I mean, and honestly, starting with children, starting with, you know, younger people and having that be a part of life. We poo-poo and we shun anything that looks like death or dying. There's a shortage of geriatric doctors, isn't there? I mean, that's symbolic in that we don't want to see something. We don't want to participate in the going out. We want to participate in the coming in, the thin veil of birth and childhood and that kind of thing. And I think it's really painful. It doesn't serve us. And it, I want to be a part of that change.
Is somebody your age rare in the funeral direction business?
I don't know that I feel capable answering that question.
Because you work in one place.
I work in one place, yeah. And I mean, I've worked in another place down in North Carolina for a year. I don't know. I know that I feel like there was I would like a larger group of people to reach out to, but it may be I'm located in Southern Oregon right now, so that's there's not a lot of folks down here.
Kate Swenson is an apprentice funeral director at Littweiler Simonson in Ashland. Jennifer Matthews is one of the co-founders of the Living Dying Alliance of Southern Oregon, which is presenting Funeral Homes Demystified, a candid conversation about post-death logistics, April 25th. That's a week from today. Is it 6:30 p.m., you said?
Yes, 6:30, and people can go to livingdyingalliance.com to register, get information.
Okay, a couple minutes left if you want to get in on the conversation. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. So is part of the process of the Living Dying Alliance encouraging people to think about how they want their own funerals to be conducted?
Oh, absolutely, the whole range. So whether that's us talking to our families, looking at our own lives, it's never too early. I mean, that's kind of how I feel about this. It's never too early to think about these things because ideally, some of what Kate was saying as well, ideally, we would have our values align with how we want that to be carried out and be able to talk to people about that, to express our own desires and to know our own desires. So the first piece is actually knowing what we want, what we value, and what we care about.
Grab your headphones. We have a phone call for you. Let's go to Alice in Ashland. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Jennifer Matthews and Kate Swenson. Hi, Alice.
Hello. This is Elizabeth Hammond.
Oh, Elizabeth. Sorry.
Yes. I didn't want your interviewee there to sell herself short because she probably has studied on how to present, be helpful in presenting the pathological grief, which grief can become pathological, depending on how matters are handled in the early phases.
Mm-hmm. All right.
I thought she might like to address that with the audience.
All right. Thank you for that, Elizabeth. So you're nodding. Yeah. So this is something you're exposed to, I guess.
Well, what was the word that she used? What kind of grief?
Pathological.
Pathological grief. Okay. I'm not familiar with that word, but what I would, what I'm assuming was meant by that was that if there's enough communication, if there's enough presence in the room, because I'm there at a really volatile time. This person who they've been with, who they've known for years and years and years, and loved, I'm taking them away. And so if there's some sort of communication where I can make them feel like they are part of that. I'm part of the continuum of care, but they've got the control and they have, they're in control of this. They're steering the ship. I hope that helps. I mean, that's, you know.
What was the biggest surprise to you as you moved into the job and discovered what the duties were? What was the thing you least expected to find?
I don't know that I have an answer for that right now.
Okay. But how old were you when you decided to go into funeral direction?
I was 30. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had been commercial fishing and serving coffee and working with people with developmental disabilities, things like that. Mm-hmm. And yeah.
And so I noticed just from looking around the internet at frequently asked questions from funeral directors that there is the idea that yes, your funeral should be your own. You can make it a celebration, as we've already talked about in this program. But have you had some really unusual requests for how to conduct a funeral?
When I was working at a different funeral home, there was someone who wanted to be embalmed in the sleeping position, with their hands under their cheek, and different things like that. And I'm really excited. The families in this area are pretty good about saying, "Hey, this is what we want," and like this. What about this? And some of the things are they'll come in and they'll say, "I have this really weird question." So I'm like, "Yeah, go ahead, try it." And I'm just impressed with how involved people want to be. You can have a home funeral. You can work with a death care consultant or home funeral guide. You can have the body of your loved one in your home for 3 days. You can do almost anything you would like that helps your family and helps you. You don't need to call the funeral home right away when somebody dies. You can wait. We don't need to hear about it, until you're ready to have them leave your home. So there are a lot of different ways you can do that.
Okay. You can hear more of Kate Swenson if you want to go to this session called Funeral Homes Demystified, a candid conversation about post-death logistics. This is actually at Littweiler-Simonson, is that right?
Yes. Yes, it is.
On April 25th, that's next Tuesday evening at 6:30 p.m., which is a presentation of the Living Dying Alliance of Southern Oregon, where Jennifer Matthews is one of the co-founders. Kate Swenson is an apprentice funeral director at Littweiler-Simonson. Best of luck with your exams this year.
Thank you.
And good to see you both here on the Jefferson Exchange.